Luke chapter 6. I don't think I'll need any tonight. If you want to just empty it and it'll be ready for Sunday. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Now, commonly this is quoted as, "Do unto others as you have them do unto you." So I ask the question, why? Well, sort of common sense, you know, to treat others the way you want to be treated. Turnabouts, fair play, be another way reason we could say that. Or it's just a reasonable thing to do, to treat somebody the way they treat you. But because we're not supposed to have vengeance, that's in a negative sense. Okay? Vengeance would be negative. And so in the positive sense, we should do like we'd have others do to us. Now, these are all acceptable reasons to the reasoning of man's mind. But it's not the reason why we keep the golden rule. Okay? It's not the reason why we keep the golden rule. And you know, you can realize the influence of Christianity in our society even today, as far away as it has gotten from the Bible and Bible principles. As you listen to news reports, or you watch any kind of interaction on TV or the radio, and you'll hear people not giving a Bible quote, but they'll give a statement that you know came about as a result of the Bible. And the golden rule would certainly be one of those very common ones. Judge not that you be not judged. You know, that's another one that you can hear. Not necessarily that quote, but, you know, in the sense, well, we're not supposed to judge others. Well, why not? You see? Why not? And so there again, you could come up with some common sense, reasonable explanations for why we shouldn't judge. But the whole thing exists because of Bible Christianity that influenced our society and is still an influence. But I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, the golden rule appears in Luke 6 that we just read. And then it also appears in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And it gives us the reason why we should keep the golden rule. Matthew 7 verse 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." And now here's the addition to the Luke passage. "For this is the law and the prophets." Why keep the golden rule? Because the law and the prophets taught it. Well, you know, when I read that, and I read that last phrase there, "For this is the law and the prophets." What's the law and the prophets? Well, doing to others like we'd have them do to us. That's the law and the prophets. That's what the law and the prophets teach. The Luke and Matthew passages actually, and I hope to show you this, summarize the law and the prophets. Now, there's 613 laws, according to the traditionally accepted count, which goes back to a rabbi. Wow, it may have been as long ago as, you know, back in 300-400 AD that a rabbi counted them up, and that's the number he came with. And there's, you know, there's some that get different number as they count, but that's the traditionally accepted one. And since I didn't have time to go back through and count them, I think we'll go with his. But Luke and Matthew, the Golden Rule, summarize all 613 laws. Now, does that mean God was verbose? God was wordy. I had a lady tell me one time, "You're all right, but you're verbose." Well, I had no idea if she was swearing at me or giving me a compliment. So when I got home, I looked it up, and she was right. Verbose means wordy, given to much speech. And I couldn't deny it, you know. Well, obviously, God had a reason for giving the 613 laws. They each applied to some area and aspect of religious, civil, and ceremonial involvements by his people, the Jews. But turn to Matthew. You're in Matthew. Turn to chapter 22. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading at verse 34, Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, and that's beautiful. Jesus would, you know, constantly these two groups tried to trip him up, and here's a situation in which Jesus, whatever his response was, it shut the mouths of the Sadducees. They didn't have a comeback. And the Pharisees had heard that, and so they were gathered together, the Pharisees, and they thought, well, now they're going to take their crack at it. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, most places, when the scripture refers to a lawyer, it's referring to a man who was adept in the laws of Moses, okay? There's one reference in the New Testament, and I'm trying to remember when. I think it's one of Timothy's letters, where Paul refers to Zenas the lawyer. And that would, of course, be a Greek lawyer. And so that would be at least generally thought that that would have been a lawyer in the modern sense, or the way that we use it. Now, that certainly could have been a converted Greek, and he could have been dealing with the law of Moses. But nevertheless, here it's referring to one adept in the law. And so this lawyer asked him a question. Now, the purpose of it, as we're given here, was to tempt him, to test Jesus. And what he said was in verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" 613 of them. Which is the great one? Well, in other words, what's the most important one? What's the one that really outshines all of the others? Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, that would be the golden rule. Okay? Treat others like you'd have them treat you. Love them, do for them like you'd have them do for you. Now, look at the next verse, verse 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now remember back in Matthew 7, it talked about the law and the prophets. And now here again, we see the reference to that phrase, the law and the prophets. And he says on the commandment to love God first with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, that all of the law hangs on these two. Verse 40, "On these two commandments hang." Well, I went back And I looked up all the verses that have to do with hang. And you know what hang means in the Bible? Okay? It means to hang. On these hang. In other words, all of the laws, all 613 of them, depend on, connect with, or revolve around the law. It talked about, one verse talked about hanging certain skins on the back of the tabernacle. It talked about hanging a man, okay? And it uses hang in the Bible just the way we would typically think of the use of the word hang. And what he's telling us is that all of the law hangs on those two commandments. Now, why the law? The Apostle Paul says it is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You're familiar with this passage, but I'd like you to turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read the actual verses. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 24 and 5. Galatians 3, 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The purpose of the law was to bring us. It shows us ourselves. It shows us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live. We realize we can't live that way. It is to show our inadequacies, to show our sin, and it is to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. We're not justified by the law. We're justified by faith. But it is the law that shows us, indeed, that we need a Savior. And then verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not under the law. Now, the law is still profitable. Paul says regarding the Old Testament, it's all profitable for our learning. And as we study the law, we see the character of God. We see what God wants, how God thinks man ought to live. And you know, the one of the laws that I think of in this respect would be a civil law. And that has to do, if you've got an ox and he's wont, it says, he's likely to goad somebody. Take those horns and spear somebody, that if you know that, it's your responsibility to keep that animal under control. And when and you know that, and yet you let him out, and he does kill somebody, now you're in trouble, okay? And so God teaches the responsibility. When we know something's not right, we know something isn't as it ought to be, then we have responsibility to act accordingly and for the sake of other men. Now, when we think of all of the laws hanging on this, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Would we want somebody else's ox to goad us? Well, no, not really. Well, then we shouldn't allow ours out of the pen to goad somebody else. And that's a simple way to see how all of the law hangs on one of those two first and second commandments. Now, the end result of the law and the prophets is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. To love God with all, that's the end of the law. All that we might study in the law, all that we might understand in the law, is all intended to help us to love God with our heart, soul, and mind. And therefore, if in all that we learn, it does not result in our loving God with our whole, I mean, it's our whole man, fully, completely, with our heart, soul, and mind. If it doesn't end up with that, It's just knowledge. Okay? But Paul told the Corinthians, knowledge does what? Puffeth up. And so you have a breed of Christians. You have a type of Christian person who delights in studying, delights in knowing what the Bible says, but just for the sake of knowing what it says. It doesn't change their life. It doesn't change their way of living. And the end result of the law and the prophets is that we're to have our love God, that is, with the heart, soul, and mind, and our fellow man in the same way. Now, it's by the grace of God that we are enabled to have, okay, these two ultimate, all-important commands. It's by the grace of God that we're able to keep them. We can't keep them by our own effort. You know, I keep trying to lose weight. Obviously, I've not been too successful, have I? I keep trying to lose weight. And I got great determination. Call every night when I go to bed full, okay? I say, now tomorrow, I'm going to do different. And that usually only lasts till my first cup of coffee when I need to have a cookie or two with it. Okay? Then if Pat gets up after me, then she comes out and she says, are you having breakfast? Oh, I don't know. What are you thinking of? Well, we've got some ham left over from Easter dinner. You can have ham and eggs. Ooh, that sounds good. Okay, I'll have some of that. I'll cut back at lunch. Yeah. Now you're all either have seen someone like me, okay? Okay, we won't go there. So, you see, neither can we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Neither can we love each other. Oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor. It says, love thy neighbor. And my neighbors aren't here. These are just fellow church people. Okay? So, I don't have to love another church person. It says, love thy neighbor. And so, for us, Pat's picturing, as I am, you know, different ones, neighbors. Those are the people we have to love. Well, now you're sitting there looking at me blank. I mean, is he being sarcastic, or does he really not understand that neighbor includes everyone? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And it takes the grace of God to do that. Have you noticed in life that sometimes there's people that can rub you the wrong way? Huh? Yeah. The first time I heard that, it was as part of a gospel song. It was a gospel quartet concert, and they were talking about somebody rubbing them the wrong way. And the one singer said, well, and turn the cat around. And so, yeah, it can happen. The same way, we must be careful that we don't confuse Christian love with ordinary, everyday, earthly compatibility. Now, it's great when we're compatible with another brother or sister in Christ. But you see, you can be very compatible with a particular clerk at the grocery store. Now, there may be another clerk who, if you see two stalls open, you know, you're going to go to the one that you like. You're going to go to the clerk that you get along with. That's easy to be around. You're not going to go to the clerk that rubs you the wrong way. See? And so you can have earthly compatibility. And when that exists within the congregation, great. We don't have to struggle then. Okay? Because we're just naturally compatible. But the Bible tells us we're to love others within the congregation that we're not naturally compatible with, that can rub us the wrong way. That's the golden rule. And God expects us to apply it. Dare I say, He expects us to apply it here first. And then beyond here, maybe the next place would be our greater family. Certainly, I think we can say within our neighborhood. You know, I'm thinking right now there's a fellow in our neighborhood that you just never know. Sometimes you wave at him, he'll wave back. Sometimes you call across the street to him and you'll get a grunt. Other times he'll talk right friendly. And there's a fellow a couple doors down, come to think of it, the same way. I think they're moody. Did you ever notice it's difficult? And this is not unimportant. This may be one of the most important things I'll say tonight. Did you ever notice that some people are moody? And it's hard to develop a relationship that's strong and satisfying with a person that's moody. For the simple fact, you just never know what kind of mood they're going to be in. And if they're not in a friendly mood, I've had people just walk right by me and not even say boo. And then the next time they'll stop, talk your leg off. Now there's where you need to apply the golden rule. That's about the time that I'd like to say, hey, 4 days ago, you didn't even know that I existed. And now you want to chew my ear off? Will you get real? Now, that's what the old nature would say. Now, I'm not going to feel guilty that my old nature thinks that way. But I will feel guilty if I yield to the old nature. We're told in the scriptures, to whomsoever you yield yourselves as instruments. And so I can't yield myself to what I feel like. And neither should a moody person yield themselves to what they feel like. In plain, common, everyday language, just suck it up and be nice anyway. Do we understand that? Yeah. Because, and you know, another thing is, we never know what a person's gone through. You know, you never know what a person has faced. And, well, let me keep moving along here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul said he had become what he is by the grace of God and what the grace of God did in himself. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God. And so by the grace of God, we can keep the two most important commandments. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. And so the grace of God enables us to be what we need to be. Now let me read a verse from Leviticus chapter 19. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's in Leviticus. That's not Matthew or Luke. But indeed, you can see that in Leviticus, a book dealing with the law, it's telling us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Wow, it makes it pretty clear, other than the two commonly quoted scriptures. And then Romans 13, verse 9 says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So he names off all of these. And he says, in any other law, he said, it's all summarized in loving thy neighbor as thyself. And so, you know, you may think to yourself, well, thou shalt not kill, yeah, I understand that. Thou shalt not steal, yeah, I understand that. Listen, if you love your neighbors yourself, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to covet what they have. You're not going to lie about them and bear false witness on them. If you love them as you, but if you don't love them as yourself, circumstances can cause us to conjure up all kinds of reasons to act as we shouldn't. Then the 10th verse of Romans 13 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And that's what we need to do, fulfill the law. Father in heaven, our desire is to know indeed that you are at work in our hearts. And if you're not, Father, we know that we have no hope. But how grateful we are that we are a people that have been born again, born of the scriptures, and thereby understand what it is that you desire of us. Enable us to achieve it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Luke.